And if you'll take your Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 John, there in the back of your Bibles, first epistle, first letter of John, and be looking at chapter 1, verse 1, and read that entire chapter into the second verse of the second chapter. Yeah, so 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. There's where we'll be beginning. The Apostle John is very adamant that resurrected Jesus was not just a ghostly apparition or a figment of their imagination. He states that the apostles and himself there not only saw Jesus, they also heard him and they touched him. And so it brought such a joy to them that he wanted to share it with all the people. And so let's look at his first letter there that he wrote, John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." John's argument is pretty clear. Light and darkness cannot coexist. This contrast between light and darkness seems to be a favorite illustration of John's. In his opening statement in the Gospel of John, he writes, "In him was life, and that life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it." And in the third chapter, he records the words of Jesus, saying that this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus said that we are to live as light in a world of sin and darkness. There is to be a marked difference between the lives of Christians and from those who live according to the world standards. If Christ, in whom there is no darkness, lives within us, our lives should be completely free from darkness. Therefore, following the logic of John, just like light and darkness, sin and righteousness cannot coexist. However, although it's logical, is it possible? Can we conceivably live day after day in full accordance with God's commands? Are we able to always walk in the light as Jesus is in the light? As we look at what the Bible tells us, we have to admit that It must be possible. Jesus told the man that he healed after 30 years of affliction. He says, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." And to the woman caught in adultery, he told her to go and sin no more. Did Jesus command the impossible? Or did he really expect them to go and not sin anymore? In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he assures us that no temptation has taken you but except such as common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And he tells the Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And in today's passage, John states, "These things I write to you that you might not sin." The Bible clearly teaches that sin is an option. It is not compulsory. But is it practical? Is it something that we can really put into practice? Do we always live up to our full potential? Not very likely. Every day we face all kinds of situations and temptations to which we may not always respond in the right way. We do not always seek the means of escape that Christ provides for us. And Satan is shrewd. He knows our weakest and our most vulnerable areas, and that's where he attacks. He knows our appetites and will entice us to satisfy them in ways that are contrary to God's design. See, the Christian walk is a process of growth. And as we strive to reach maturity, we often stumble along the way. But this does not mean that we are suddenly walking in darkness and are out of fellowship with God. There's a difference between a sinful lifestyle and a wrong choice made in a particular situation. The syntax of John's walking in darkness indicates he is referring to a lifestyle of sin, not an instance of sin. However, this does not mean that we can simply shrug it off when we sin. We cannot say, "Oh, well, such is life, and I'm only human," and then go on our way as if nothing has happened. God is holy, and his holiness demands our holiness. God is righteous, and his righteousness demands that we are righteous. So what do we do when we fail? This is when we need an advocate. This is when we need Jesus. For as our advocate, Jesus helps us. The Greek word for advocate used here is parakletos. And it literally means called alongside of. Jesus is the one who is our advocate. He is the one who is called alongside of us. In school, when I was in school, there was a kid that was smaller of stature, and he was often the target of the bullies. And he was picked upon quite frequently there because of that. But he also had an older brother who was not so small in stature. And it was amazing, whenever his brother was walking alongside him, he was never picked upon. There. Well, Jesus walked alongside of us, and he helps us. And it's the same word that Jesus used when he described the Holy Spirit as our helper. The Parakletos, the one who is alongside of us. It is his Holy Spirit that is with us. And while on earth, Jesus could not always be with his disciples. There, he could not be on the mountaintop with James and Peter and John as they witness the transfiguration there, and Elijah and Moses, you know, join them there. And also be down in the valley where the other disciples were down there making a fool of themselves, trying to cast out a demon that was beyond their powers to do. And so while John and James and Peter are up there just celebrating in a mountaintop experience, the disciples down below were left to their own means. And they were failing until Jesus came along. But through his Holy Spirit, Jesus is always with us. He's always helping us in our times of need. You know, the Trinity of God there, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's also a Trinity of characteristics of God. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, ever-present. And I got to thinking about that, and those three characteristics kind of go with the three persons of the Godhead. Because although they all carry each of the traits, they seem to stand out in one. In the Old Testament, we see God as being all-powerful, the Almighty God, you know, who delivered the Israelites out and did all kinds of wondrous things. And in Jesus, we see an all-knowing God, one that knew all things, you know, and it says as the people were gathered together, time and time again you read that Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to take place. And in the Holy Spirit, we have the omnipresence. He's everywhere at once. And he is with us in all of our needs. And so he is Jesus with us in the present time, and he helps us in our weakness, because we are weak. You know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples fell asleep there, he went and he says, "Oh, keep watch with me and pray." He says, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And our flesh is still weak. And as I stated before, Satan knows and exploits our weaknesses. And so we need to pray and seek Christ's help in our day-to-day lives. Because Jesus said that apart from him, we can do nothing. If we try to stand up to Satan in our own power, we're going to fail every time. But he also says, in me you can do all things. So apart from Christ, we can do nothing. However, there is nothing we cannot do through Christ. If we depend upon his strength and his working. And so in our weakness, we can depend upon Christ's strength. We can depend upon him to give us that strength that we need to overcome. And Jesus also helps us to recognize sin. You might be thinking, well, I don't need any help there. I can always recognize sin. You know, it's pretty obvious. And a lot of times sin is obvious, but most of the time it's pretty obvious. We know when we're faced with it. But the Bible tells us that sometimes Satan comes as an angel of light. Sometimes he comes and presents things in such a way that it looks good. The Bible calls him as the great deceiver. Satan often will use half-truths that hides the whole truth. And it's in these that Christ comes and helps us to recognize. Jesus said, "I am the truth." I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the full truth. And so Jesus is the truth that exposes the lies of Satan. You ever notice that in the TV courtroom dramas that they have, you know, they have the witnesses up there, and they swear them in, and they say, "Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" And then one of the lawyers will come up and they'll ask them a question. And they'll answer the question, and then they start to go on a little bit, and the lawyer says, "That's enough." Now the witness had just swore to tell the whole truth, but the lawyers tell them, "No, just tell part of the truth." Well, that's what Satan would like to do. You know, part of the truth is okay, but he doesn't want the whole truth. Because the whole truth presents a whole different picture, and it's the whole truth that we have in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And as our advocate, Jesus helps us. And as our advocate, Jesus guides us. Jesus guides us. How many choices do you think you make every day? Well, when you really stop and think about it, we're constantly making choices. From the time you open your eyes in the morning to the time you fall asleep at night, you are making choices. Now, most of those choices we make are automatic. You know, we don't even think about them. You know, we get up and we go through our daily routines. You know, we get dressed, we put on our clothes, we put on our shoes, and we don't think about that, but those are actually choices. You know, we have a choice of whether we're going to get up or stay in bed. We have a choice of whether we're going to get dressed or stay in our pajamas. Mm-hmm. We do have these choices, and most of them are just kind of automatic. Some choices that we make every day are easy choices. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of thought and things. You know, like if somebody offers me banana bread or ice cream, that's an easy choice. You know, it's the ice cream every time. No problem there at all. So a lot of the choices we make are very easy. But there are some choices that are difficult. There are some choices that really make a difference. They might make a difference not only to us, but maybe other people down the line. Choices that could have a real impact upon our future, upon the future of others. Those are the choices that Jesus helps us with, that Jesus guides us in. Because we don't know what's going to come tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen down the line. You know, it's like going, seeing a crossroads, and just past the crossroads there, on both of them there's a hill or a corner, and you can't see beyond that. So how do you know which road to take? That's where we need the guidance of God, the guidance of Jesus, because he knows what's around that corner. He knows what's over the hill. He knows our future. He's already there. Time means nothing to him. And so he will, if we seek him, he will guide us. He will guide us in making the right choices. He will open doors and close others. He will just give us that urging to go the right way. And one direction that Jesus will always guide us is away from temptation. It's away from temptation. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." And in that example prayer, one of the things he taught them to pray is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You see, we are naturally attracted to sin. Otherwise, temptations wouldn't have any meaning for us. Now, there's certain ones that are more deadly or more more attractive to some people than they are to others. But Satan knows each one. See, James tells us that we are tempted by our own lusts and desires. And Satan will try to take those desires that we have, those appetites that we have, and pervert them to be used apart from the way God meant them to be used. But Jesus purifies our desires. When we turn them over to Jesus, He purifies them. And He will use them to bring about what God wants us to do. Because God has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. Unlike what the evolutionists teach us, we are here for a reason. We're not just an accident that happened somewhere along the way. God created us, and He created us for a particular purpose, a particular reason. And He wants to use us to fulfill His purpose upon this, in this world. He wants to use us to bring others to Him. That's why He says that we are the light of the world. And we're to let our righteousness be seen by others, that they might see our good works and give glory to God. He told His disciples that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. God guides us according to God's plan for us. He guides us according to God's plan for us. And it's not something that, you know, we really have to struggle with. It's something we just need to surrender to. Because when we fully surrender ourselves to God and His plan for us, Jesus says, you know, whatever the desires of your hearts are, God will give it. God will give it to us. That is His plan for us. To give us the desires of our hearts is that when our desire is to please Him. And as our advocate, Jesus guides us. And as our advocate, Jesus defends us. Jesus defends us. Because Satan is always on the attack. Satan's been at his work for a long time. And he's gotten very good at it. He works at it 24/7, all the time. Peter describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's quite a picture for us when we think about how Satan is working in this world today, looking for those that he may devour. And so oftentimes, we are easy prey. We make it easy for him because we do not spend that time in prayer. We do not spend that time in studying God's Word because we get so caught up in the things of the world, in the busyness of the world, that we forgot what Jesus says to watch and pray, because the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. But Jesus shields us from the attacks of Satan. When we call upon Him, He shields us from the attacks of Satan. I think it's there in the Bible where it talks about the putting on the full armor of God. Well, Jesus is the full armor of God. He's the helmet of salvation. He's the breastplate of truth. He is the shield of faith. He is the sword of the Spirit. He is our protection from the attacks of Satan. And so, Jesus enables us to be able to endure the temptations and the trials that we face in this life. Christ gives us a strength that goes beyond ourselves. For in Christ we have access to the power that defeated Satan. We have access to that very power that defeated Satan, because when Christ was here on earth, he was tempted just as we are. The Bible says, in fact, every way in which we are. In fact, I believe that it was a much more intense temptation than what we could ever face. But in every instance, Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus overcame. And if we have Christ in our lives, then we will have the victory. And so John is able to write, "I write these things that you might not sin." But even if we do fall, even if we do fail, Jesus still defends us. Jesus is still our advocate. And if we turn to him, he says he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. You see, Jesus answers all the accusations of Christ, or of Satan. Jesus answers all of Satan's accusations against us. You know, if we stand on the stand alone, and Satan accuses us of sin, we have to say, well, guilty. But Jesus says, no. He says, wait, I paid for that sin. And so Satan gives us presents another sin. Jesus says, no, I paid for that sin. And for every sin that Satan accuses us of, Jesus is paid for. John says that Jesus is our propitiation. He's our propitiation. Now there's a word that you don't use every day, I bet. You know, it means basically what you pay for something. You know, so you might write a check for your rent, and so that would be your propitiation for your rent. There, that check is. But really, I like how the NIV translates it. They translate it as atoning sacrifice. He is our atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that sacrifice is good for every one of our sins. It is complete. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Jesus has paid the debt of every transgression. Of every transgression. There's nothing that is not covered or cannot be covered by his blood. If we turn to him in repentance, if we confess our sins, he forgives us. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And as our advocate, Jesus defends us. Jesus calls us to be his disciples. And the word disciple means learner. And as we walk in this world, we are learning to walk in the light. One of the funnest ages of a youngster is when he first starts walking. There, and to watch them progress and how quickly they're able to progress of, you know, of being able just to stand up and wobble a little bit and sit down. Be able to take those first steps. And, you know, oftentimes when they're walking along, they first learn, they all of a sudden just sit down. Or they fall down. Maybe for no reason at all. But after a little bit, they get more confident. And they're going along, but they forget to look where they're going. They forget, and they'll trip over something that they didn't see, and they fall down. Or they might get a little overconfident, And they start going fast, and pretty soon their body is going faster than their little legs can go. And they take a tumble. You know what the parent does in each time of those? Mom, dad, or maybe grandma will go and pick them up and dust them off and set them back up on their feet. Give them the encouragement to keep going. Well, like a toddler, sometimes we fall. Maybe it's not even in any particular, for any particular reason, we fall. We might not see something in the path that will trip us. We might lean on something that do not support us. Or sometimes we just allow our momentum to carry us faster than our legs can run. But in all these things, Christ is faithful. He will pick us up, dust us off, and set us back on our feet. God loves us, and in His great mercy has given us an advocate to turn to when we fail. Therefore, we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus, who is our helper, who is our guide, and who is our defender. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all these things that You do for us. For we know that in and of ourselves, we are weak, we are helpless. But You have given us a helper in the time of our weakness. Lord, oftentimes we don't know which way to go. But You have given us a guide to give us the direction and the right path, and the paths of righteousness. And Lord, oftentimes we find ourselves guilty of sin. And Lord, we thank You that You have provided for us one who defends us, one who has made that atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that our sin is completely paid for. We thank You, Lord, that You are always with us, that You will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank You that because You live, we can indeed face tomorrow. And in all these things, we give You praise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we do want to conclude this service by taking your hymnals once again and turn to hymn number 620. Thank you.